Welcome to Never End the Story, a rewatch podcast where we watch the movies of our childhood, along with Tepper, a grown man who's never seen them before. I'm your host, Ivan. I remember you from the video store.
I'm Chris, and I've got the brains, and you've got the looks. Let's make lots of money.
And I'm Tepper.
This week, we'll be watching Pet Shop, directed by Hope Perello, released in 1994. Although originally intended to be released on videocassette during the summer of 1994, the film was eventually pushed to spring 1995 videocassette release because of financial issues at production company Full Moon Entertainment.
Yes!
They are artists. So
that's what we got going for us. We all brought this movie to us this week. Why?
Oh, baby. Pet Shop Boys. Pet Shop Boys are back. We're back, baby. It's Moonbeam. It's madness.
Chasing that pre-hysteria high.
The pre-hysteria.
Pre-hysteria.
Need it so bad.
Yeah, this was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. This is just like pre-hysteria. I haven't watched it since I was, 8 years old.
Okay, so you have seen it.
Oh.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if anybody had actually seen it here.
Oh, no. Yeah, oh, no. Either. I've seen this at least 10 times. I may have seen this upwards of 20 times.
Dang.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah, I definitely saw this movie's cassette box at the video store. I don't think I've seen the movie. We shall find out, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned through the making of this podcast that we have no idea what movies we've seen and what movies we haven't seen.
It's the weirdest is when, like, there's just a group zeitgeist of just remembering a movie existed. Like, that's the real weird ones, is when there's just like three or four people are like, holy shit, that movie existed. It's like, oh my god, I saw that too.
We've also had a couple times where someone on the podcast goes, oh yeah, and then there's this movie, and just describes the most insane thing you've ever heard in your life. And everyone else on the podcast goes, what the fuck are you talking about? They're like, oh, I thought this was a normal thing.
Yeah. So I guess technically Chris is the bringer of this movie. I like I said, I didn't realize anyone had seen it, so I figured we were just riding that pre-hysteria train. But I'm sure we're all excited for whatever this will be.
Oh yeah.
So now showing Tepper the poster for the movie, please describe it and tell us what you think the movie's about.
Hell yeah, baby. Buckle up. Everybody buckle up.
Fucking knockoff Furby.
Yeah.
That thing's horrible.
It has hands, which is just not Furby like.
It has eyes in there if you look close enough.
Yeah, and then there's like the sort of dog, and then there's whatever those other two things are. Dinosaurs?
People were asked to make more dinosaurs for pre-hysteria, and then were fired when it was realized they didn't know what a dinosaur looked like. Yes. No, go away, but we're keeping this for something.
A blind man described what a dinosaur was to a guy without hands, and the guy without hands sculpted with his feet whatever these were. And then two of them were like, that is too terrifying, cover it in fur, I don't fucking know.
Like, the one thing's vague, maybe a dragon, although it doesn't really seem to have wings. The other thing is,
yeah,
it's like if somebody tried to make a platypus.
Oh man, Tepper, describe this poster, and Tepper, good fucking luck. Good fucking luck to you, man.
I mean, you guys have done like half the work for me. Just every spot I look in this poster just makes me want to laugh more. Like the child.
Yeah.
Kind of like hitting the uncanny valley. Okay, in the top left, there is the title of the movie in red, Pet Shop. Below that, it's what John described as somebody trying to make a platypus and failing. It's horrifying. Its eye is too big. Yeah, it doesn't look great. To the right of the Pet Shop title is... in a bird cage, for some reason, is something that is not a winged at all. It's kind of dragon-like, but like no wings. And is kind of like glaring sinister-like down at the middle of the poster. Middle of the poster is a thing that looks like a dog. Like a really like fluffy dog. I can't think of like the breed, but lots and lots of fur. Can't even see its eyes.
Shih Tzu is probably what you're thinking of.
Yeah. Like a Shih Tzu matches pretty close. To the right of the Shih Tzu is a.
What is it?
A human? Maybe. a woman who is making a very strange expression. I believe the expression is supposed to be conveying like wonder or like surprise. But has dipped into this uncanny valley.
Mm-hmm.
Of like they don't necessarily look fully real. Their mouth is really weird. I can't really explain in detailed terms what's off about the mouth, but it just looks off. And then that offness with the mouth is then combined with her expression, which her like eyes are like wide open. And her eyebrows have gone, like, really high on her forehead.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she's, like, she's not actually looking at anything.
Yeah.
Also, I think part of it's her bottom row of teeth.
Yes, I was thinking about that. I think it's
they
her
are
teeth.
Not teeth.
Yeah, her teeth are, like, fucked up.
Like, her top teeth are very defined. Her bottom teeth are a bunch of maggots in her mouth.
Oh no.
You're welcome.
And like the way that the skin has been colored with the lighting does not help. Like the complexion is weird. Like it's very red in parts. And just like the texture seems off.
Yeah, it's presumably supposed to be a face of excitement, but that is not the emotion that gets conveyed.
Yeah.
It's like somewhere between abject horror and just and like she's being ripped from her own body.
She also looks like she's strangling that Shih Tzu thing.
True.
Yeah.
Which, okay, in that case, facial expression slightly more accurate.
And then, okay, and then in the bottom right is text, take home a pet, ... from another universe, ! And then in the bottom left is the thing that had me laughing as soon as I saw the poster. It looks like a Furby, but like more horrifying.
Furbies came out in 1998, dude. This invented Furbies.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Furbies ripped this shit off completely from 1994/5's Pet Shop.
yeah, it's It's kind of horrible looking. Its eyes are really big. Got like a weird beak protrusion, and like the way the like hair is circling the face. I don't know. It's weird. Also, does it have, is that like its ear?
Huh.
Like you see what I'm talking about, right? Like the, it has hands and feet.
It's also like jingling some keys.
Yeah.
It's got keys in its hand. Not a fan of this. Not a fan of this poster. I will say, like, compared to other posters, at least this one evokes emotion. Probably not the emotion they were intending.
Also, I don't know if you mentioned it. I might have just missed it. Just like the rainbow over the whole
thing. Oh, yeah. No, I did not mention it. You're right. Yeah, there's a rainbow coming off. Oh, it's not coming off the Shih Tzu. It just looks like it is.
Yeah, it's just going all over the place. It's kind of the magic of this pet shop, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got it. You know what's up.
Also, like, because, like, it's just like, is that a normal dog? But the feet.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't mention the feet. I should have. The feet are not dog.
Little Muppet hands.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Other than some amount of pre-hysteria energy.
I was gonna say if it's like pre-hysteria, we're gonna have 5 minutes of screen time of actually seeing these animals. And the rest of the movie is going to be like, okay, the girl discovers a way to reach into other universes and pull animals from there into hers, which just seems like a bad idea, just in general. And there's going to be maybe the owner of the pet shop or some other person who finds out about this and wants to like sell the pets or in like monetize this universe hopping. And chaos ensues. And maybe that one above her, like, that thing is actually evil. Like, look at the expression on its face. Like, look at that thing.
Yeah. It does kind of seem like one of the things that that shitty Bastion would have wished into existence.
He was so bad at wishes. Like, whenever I think about that movie, I just think about the scene when he's climbing.
It's so bad.
Or the scene when he's, like, making the dragon.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh man, you are awful.
We have all these movies that we say are terrible and we say we hate, but we reference them constantly.
They're bad, but they're memorable. Like, sometimes the worst thing a movie can be is, like, purely mid. Like, something that is just so average that you it, you go, okay.
Yep.
All right. We'll see you after the film.
See ya.
We can only take as many pets as we leave behind.
What are you talking about?
4 critters for 4 humans.
No way! Nobody's making pets out of us.
And we're back. So, what did everyone think?
We are so back.
We are so back. We have never been more back.
We are so back. We are so back.
Yes. We're gonna win. We're winning so much. We are tired of winning. That is how we feel on this podcast right now.
Listen up, listeners. If you have not seen this movie, stop listening to us right this moment. Go. Watch this movie. It is 1 hour 20 minutes. It is a brisk watch. Then come back and listen to what we have to say.
I don't think I need to ask you guys what happened to that movie, because I don't think I remember.
Anything. I mean, short answer is nothing. But also too much.
Way too much.
The scene where they all start cooking to like the Yakety Sax music and like fast motion running around the kitchen that came out of nowhere. I like needed to catch my breath. I needed to look away from the screen and like take deep breaths into the bottom of my sternum just to like, whoa, guys.
I think it was you, Chris, who's like, just when I think there's already too many characters, they introduced seven more.
There was so many characters.
There were so many characters, and they kept introducing more.
Okay, so there's four pets, and there's four monsters.
Yeah, so like, I definitely think I prefer the Pre-Astaire movies because there are less characters.
They're contained.
Yeah.
There's like four characters in a Pre-Astaire movie.
Yeah.
The Pre-Astaire really movies are definitely better than this. This, though, has the energy.
This is crazier. This might be crazier.
Yeah, I think it is crazier just because it's so packed. There's like four storylines going on at once.
Well, and like the Pre-Astaire is there are tiny dinosaurs. We sort of establish why in the first one, but then they just exist. This was about aliens, and they were the through plot the entire time for no reason.
This is a sci-fi mafia comedy.
Yes, it was. It did some of those things. It almost forgot the. It almost forgot the mafia plot line.
Honestly, those were 10 out of 10 goons.
They just like they only show up in what they're like. They play off each other.
Yeah,
and they are only in one scene with others. Which is the weirdest part. It's just...
Yeah, it's very strange. The movie will just occasionally go back to them, and they'll just be going back and forth, and then they show up at the end. So what happens? So like,
they keep calling each other babe. The two brother goons keep calling each other babe.
Yeah, that classic mafia title.
It's, yeah,
for your I was gonna say coworkers. I don't know.
What, you don't call your coworkers babe?
I'm going to start doing that. I work at a cemetery. I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, so did they get, like, teleported? So, like, what happened there?
So
they went to the human zoo or whatever, the human pet store on Space World.
So the aliens are, they're trying to sell any living creature as a pet. So that they can get rid of their debt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's also
as
Space Rules.
As they apparently literally say, all of God's creatures get sold eventually.
Yes. But also, Space Rules is if you take creatures away from a planet, you have to put that many creatures on a planet. It doesn't matter if they're from a different planet.
Yeah,
which, yeah, like, apparently. And also, they had them sign contracts to sell themselves, even though their children wouldn't hold up locally. And I don't know why it matters when you're selling them
to
space.
It holds up in space law.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I guess. But also, so, like, that teleporter was pre-set up to one of the people who bought one of these children in advance, presumably, because that's vaguely the thing.
So it's like alien human trafficking?
Yes.
Exactly.
But also, like, they gave a pet to every kid in town, and during one day, a lot of kids in this town of
those were human
this
pets.
Town of 20 suddenly had 100 people.
Those were normal pets.
Yeah,
it's population.
The rest were normal pets. It was only the
Well,
but then why? Okay,
because they needed a cover for the.
Where did they get pets? All those normal pets?
They bought them in the first scene from the pet store man who is never seen again.
Yes! Man
who
got
I
his money and
they
left.
They killed him. I think he is buried out back.
That pet store man had like a miniature pony and stuff. Also, who is the employee who was in the like dog mascot handing out flyers?
Yeah, I wondered that myself. I wondered that myself too. Where did they hire that dog man? Watch this movie. Watch this movie.
There's so much.
One subplot. We have described only two characters. Well, three characters. Five with the goons. Five with the goons. There's a family. There's three other kids. One of the kids has a sister. There's also a U.S. Marshal.
Yes.
Plus the pets. Plus the pets you never see. The space pets. Oh, man. I feel like I just took cocaine.
It's so much. And, okay, I just, because it's been bugging me, the final scene of this movie is like one final punch to the gut. Like...
When we zoom out of their house that they've been decorating for the whole movie and we don't know what it looks like, and they zoom out of their garage and there's a giant mural of the Twin Towers.
They missed New York.
If we ever do a Never End the Story live event, it has to be a Moonbeam Entertainment like movie festival where we just watch all of these.
Just thinking about the Twin Towers.
That was astounding. That was so funny.
It's like going over their crazy house. They have two horses, like two like model horses.
She's trying to fit in. The New York woman is trying to fit in Arizona.
She just hand painted the Twin Towers on her garage.
I mean, yeah. Also, speaking of painting, the family portrait.
Yes. Scene. Yes, a family portrait was insane. Chris, had you seen that?
Oh my goodness! Also, they're in witness protection and they're trying to lay low. So she paints a giant mural of New York on her house.
I mean, to be fair, the daughter, it's like the kid goes like, I know your secret. And she goes like, oh, okay. Anyway, proceeds to tell him about being in witness protection. He's just like, oh, I was talking about your dog, but
she just
okay.
Put down the alien dog. She put down the alien dog 15 seconds ago.
Also, that one girl who was like the fashion designer.
The fashion girl, yeah.
Yeah, fashion girl who shows up for like maybe... like hardly any time, really.
Something truly astounding about the kids in this movie, because there's lots of kids and brothers and sisters. They all hate each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like everyone despises each other. Even the like supposed to be like maybe love interest main characters hate each other. They're just everyone is fed up with each other and like making fun of each other the whole fucking movie.
Fucking fat kid rapping in the bathtub.
Hey man, if you ain't been there, if you ain't had a beaded rat tail and been a fat little boy rapping in a bathtub,
rapping in the bathtub next to your rabbit.
Yep.
Just small town things.
Yeah. So they have a pet shop. Also, just right. love the naming convention of the strip mall, just everywhere just being something shop.
Yeah.
So they just so had shocked. A giant grand opening to, and they just like sent photos of children off into space to see which ones got the highest bids and gave those specific kids alien pets that would require vitamins.
Yes, which is dirt. Vitamins is dirt. We find out at the end. Yeah.
Yes. So that they would come back such that they could teleport them away to their new owners for big space cash.
Yes.
And apparently by teleporting the random mafia guys, they did manage to pay their month's rent.
Happy ending.
The aliens showed up pretending to be cowboys.
I loved that. Honestly, loved it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, amazing. Absolutely amazing. But it's psychotic. Like full, like, cowboy outfit. Huge hats, which turns out were hiding their, like, third eye.
Laser beam third eye.
Yes, laser beam third eye. I cannot forget about the laser beams.
Showing up at at the back door of the pet shop with in an ominous red glow with just a bag full of cash, which they... is the exchange rate real good? Do they just it? Like,
how did they get the cash? That's a great question. Also, their spaceship. Why did their spaceship include a giant mustache on the wall smoking a pipe that was maybe 8 feet long?
Yeah!
So they also had like a mini hand vacuum that had lips?
Yeah, it had lips on it. Yeah, the vacuum had lips. She vacuumed up the poop from the dragon grasshopper with the lip vacuum. It was disturbing.
That's spinning shot.
That
when there is a spaceship,
I thought I was gonna throw up.
Why did it keep going?
And it wasn't a camera on a tripod that they spun. It was very obviously someone walking in a circle.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
Like the way they would like corner kids in the store when they saw them interested in pets and get like way too close. Just like so ominous. Ominous energy. Just and when she's like reading the American slang book the whole time when in that spinning shot.
Yep.
Just what is going on? And, like, listeners, we've described maybe 25% of this movie.
I don't think – I think so that's wildly much. Generous. I think that's wildly generous. I feel like we've been talking for 3 hours. We have been talking for 10 minutes.
And then there's the – also the Italian family. Like, they are walking stereotypes. Like, the way they talk. Like that accent is so fucked up.
I've said this before, but it's like the director was like, do an accent, and every time they're like, no, more. 110% of that. 120% of that.
Turn it up some more. We're not quite there yet.
Do you guys, this is an incredibly Italian thing, so maybe you don't know, but do you know what a cornuto is?
No.
It's a necklace that Italian men wear. It's called the devil's horn, the corno. It's like a little horn, and it's supposed to keep away the evil eye. You wear it's like a centimeter long, the one that people normally wear. It's like on those men had like it was like as big as your finger. They had this like 3-inch giant cornuto, both of them. It was upsetting. It was very.
yeah, Chris, was that family offensive?
No, like, honestly, like I said, when they're having the meal and they're all yelling at each other and stuffing their faces at the same time, I feel seen. I feel totally seen. not my flavor of Italian. That's like a more Southern Italian or Sicilian, but you know what? Close enough, baby. Close enough, babe, which is what I call my brother, my Italian brother.
Your brother's going to be so confused when you just start calling, oh, hey, babe.
Working you know together. My brother. You know, you know he won't be. You know he'll roll with it.
No, he will. God, your brother's so cool. But that aside, this fucking movie. Also, when she's on the phone call, worried about her daughter disappearing, and she's got the horse head in one hand, and she's just like trying to figure out where on the wall she wants to put it.
There is so much good stuff. Like each of these Moonbeam movies has the perfect mix of like someone trying to make something good and just like also so low budget and force, some kind of like entity of chaos and madness behind the scenes pulling the strings. It's amazing.
Like when we talk about like low budget, they have this like chaotic scene of the kids like running away from the two main villains in their pet store. And we have one of the villains acting like he's tripping on crumbs, like they're marbles.
She spilled like fish food, and she's like stumbling. It's oh man.
It's bad. It's bad. Like, you're like, no, come on.
And it's on a carpet.
Yes. Well, yes.
And
also,
and they have paralyzing third eye lasers. So why even chase them around?
But like, the weakness is ducking, apparently.
And also, like, they turned their teleporter on in advance. You'd think, like, why wasn't it just, yes, the vitamins, they're in the back room, let's go get them. Also, why didn't they just teleport the kids right away when they caught them?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Zim's plan could use some tweaking.
And just like the two goons, like, it's like, yeah, I'll pick the lock. And he just has a switchblade and it's like,
yes.
What?
It works. That works. Oh man, when the mother is trying to break down the door and she just like runs up one tiny little hit and then she runs up again, yes, one tiny little,
yeah,
hit. Oh, baby.
The dad just putting his whole, like, I guess the beam, like, intoxicates you, disorients you afterwards.
If you're an adult, anyways.
I guess. And then he just puts his whole fucking head through the door.
He's a plumber. He can break blocks with his head. He's a plumber.
Hmm. You know?
Also, the maybe bit of lore that the whole town is made up of people in witness protection.
Oh, I was going to ask about that. Is that what they get from the coffee shop guy?
I guess so.
They should have added, like, it wouldn't have even made the movie 90 minutes. It would have made the movie 85 minutes instead of 83 minutes if they added just that line where he gets to say, because that's obviously what they were trying to go for, is this town is so boring because everyone here is in witness protection. And that would have been funny. My only note. You know what? Only note I have.
That would have been good.
Okay, is it time, fellas?
Time for what?
Is it time to talk about Please Have Sex With My Sister?
I would have been thinking about that subplot like the whole time we've been talking.
So I missed the preamble before she showed up in the pool.
Okay. He's like, keep your hands off my sister.
The
Italian older brother.
Yes. I'm so excited. That's why I keep interrupting you. I'm so excited.
No, go ahead. It is yours. It is all yours.
So Italian brother says that to Mike Powers, or
to the other kid.
Yeah,
the kid
Mike Powers.
Who's with
you're
Dina.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I'm bad with names. So
that name I remembered because it's a good name.
It is a good name.
So yeah, he says that to Mike Powers, and Mike Powers says, "If you put your something along the lines of, if you put your hands on my sister, I'll keep my hands off your sister," and then sends him around the side of the house to meet his sister while he goes inside with Dina.
Okay, so he's trying
to get,
he's trying to hook mob kid up with his horny sister.
Yes.
So that he can get with her, with mob sister.
No.
Dina.
Well, he says he'll keep his hands
interest.
Off.
Yes. I don't know if he has romantic interest in Dina. He's interested in the pet mystery at that time. And also, he has an ongoing problem in his life, which is horny sister.
Yes.
It's, now I think about it, I thought it was mean-spirited. Now I understand it's actually quite compassionate. He's like, my sister's got a problem. Here's this grease ball from New York. Problem solved.
And the way he had, like, I'm not sure if you remember this bit, but he had given a picture of his sister to Dina, who showed it to the older Italian brother.
Uh-huh, and it's evidently, it was a picture of her when she was younger.
Yes.
Did we actually see it? I missed it.
No,
we did not see it. And then, then he went around the side of the house. And he couldn't handle the thickness.
She was normal sized. Am I the only person?
It was very strange. Yeah. Like, I was expecting it to like pan around and show like, something more like, but it's like, no, she was pretty decent looking. Like, I don't know what his problem was.
Yeah. Maybe he's gay.
Well, then why was he so... Okay, I don't know.
I don't know. Like, no, it's... Yeah, I don't know. She hey, she looked
I thought
good.
Your sister was a guy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she looked good. But then the movie's pretending like she looks bad.
No, the movie's pretending she's terrifying. The movie is pretending she is basically Godzilla.
Yes, and but then it wraps around being really funny when he like shows up at the end with like lipstick on his neck. Oh, and when he's trying to leave the house, where he's like, hey, like, don't you have to like get your braces tightened? Like, we gotta go. And then he gets like grabbed and like taken out.
Yeah.
And okay. Shows up later and is like basically on the run from Mike Power's sister.
Yeah, it's very, very odd. It's like there's nothing else to do in this tiny town. Get with that horny sister.
Yeah, yes. Like just well, pick up, man. Like I don't know what the problem
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Exactly. That is the part where this film fails to understand the teenage Italian boy.
He didn't even know about the weird alien pet, so like he didn't even have an excuse to avoid the horny.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, not the same kind of weird horny we got from Prehysteria 1 though.
No.
Prehysteria 1 was. I just think about that scene in Prehysteria 1 of him sitting on the couch, and she's opposite to him, and he's basically telling the kids firmly to go to bed. And he's like, there's like some sweat on his forehead. It's just like, oh, this man. Yeah.
And also just like the fucking scene where he basically is just like, it's like, oh, it's like, is my daughter jealous?
Oh, yeah. Like, you'll always be my little girl or something like that. Like, oh.
Yeah. Didn't it though? Isn't that exactly what happened?
Making a grown man crawl.
Yeah.
Yeah, no guns. No guns in this one. We had a knife, but no guns.
Yeah. Did have eye lasers.
Fair. You know what? Fair. There were no aliens in the Prehysteria movies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, is like that those movies are grounded in the base conceit of the vaguely Mayans had tiny dinosaurs that hadn't hatched. And if they did hatch, would cause the end of the world. Or at least the end of their civilization.
When you say it out loud like that, though.
I mean, literally, though, other than the existence of four tiny dinosaurs, those movies are very grounded.
Yes. Who are barely in the movies.
Yes. Which, even more so in this, the pets technically exist. They are more, less of a plot device than they were in Prehysteria. Is there more of a plot device than they at least were in some of them? Like, Prehysteria 3 is just about mini-golf.
Yeah. Yeah, Prehysteria 3 especially.
I guess 2 as well. 2 is also... That one's just about families. And there are some tiny dinosaurs that help defeat a witch.
Prehysteria 2 is the low point of the series, I think.
The low point?
I think so.
It does have some really good stuff, though.
It does. It does. It's still good.
You can't jump. Like, the whole thing with him jumping on the trampoline in the bed or whatever. It's just like, what, this is so fucking weird. What?
Huh. How'd I forget about that? Yeah. But still, like, the first one and the third one are better.
I guess. Probably.
You know, we'll just have to watch all three of them again.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
But yeah, it's really tough for me, but like, cause like one has some like really good stuff, but two is also pretty good.
Yeah.
Three, I think, is the best one.
So like the thing was like, we were just not, we didn't have any expectations for two to be able to hold a candle to one. And it surprised all of us. So like, I definitely came out of it being like, this is better, but just because it was a sequel that actually managed to do the thing. But whether it's actually better, I don't know.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's also the one that I have the least connection to, because I definitely had seen the first and third when I was a kid.
Yeah, I think it might be like a case of... Well,
but regardless.
Yeah, I think like thinking about it, we referenced the first and third movies way more than the second movie. Like, just in terms of stuff that we'll like off the cuff talk about remembering.
Are there more?
Pet shops? Oh, no. Oh, no, no.
No, no, no. I mean, I didn't expect that. Are there more Moonbeam Entertainment?
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed, there are. don't you fret. There absolutely are.
Good. I didn't realize how much I needed this until we watched this movie, and I was like, oh, I've missed this. I've missed the insanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was definitely, too many characters. But other than that, it was a pretty solid time.
There's, in terms of one, oh no, now that I'm looking at the list, there's actually quite a few of these that I've seen. Oh no. Oh no. Oh, it's all flooding back now. Oh wow.
Yeah, it's just so weird seeing these now and being like, oh, this movie isn't about little dinosaurs or space pets. It is just a like raunchy B movie, but directed at kids.
Yes, they took out all the porn stuff, which is like, this is still Full Moon Pictures. This is before they made Moonbeam Entertainment, which was actually for kids.
It did also say Moonbeam.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah. Our mid credits after you sold the pet shop or whatever did say Moonbeam.
Okay. Because if you just look at the posters for Full Moon Entertainment, you're like, oh, these are horny movies. Like, it's all like a woman in a bikini being like menaced by a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, good stuff. Whereas all the Moonbeam Entertainment ones are like a puppet. It's like a kid and a puppet. Yeah. And the kid's like looking at the puppet like, whoa, a puppet.
Yeah. Whereas they presumably just still hire the same adults to be in these movies.
Oh baby, good stuff. There's just so much going on. Yeah. In this movie, I'm just remembering her greasy cooking. I'm remembering like the horses on the lawn. I'm remembering the subplot about how the brother's a genius and he can make a lawn be water.
And he said it to water it every 15 seconds?
No, 5 hours for every minute.
Ah.
Other way around. 5 minutes every hour. That was the thing I said before. It's insane. I realized what my mouth did after it came out.
Also, like, the set design in general in this movie is just nuts. Like, just even just random panning shots around different locations. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
That pet shop, like, it looked like it smelled bad. Like, I could smell it from here. He's just sweeping. The first scene, he's sweeping like a pile of sawdust out of his pet shop into the street. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing in there?
I mean, even that opening scene was like weird. Like, kid rolls up. It's like, oh, like shooting star. What are you gonna wish for? A turtle. And he's like, I've been forgetful these days. Been forgetting a bunch of stuff these days. He's like sadly sweeping, goes inside, and then aliens show up.
He wants the turtle because his horny sister hates turtles.
Yes.
Yeah. That was also very relevant plot detail. Oh my god, the like minute and a half long scene of the grasshopper dragon just on top of her hat.
That?
That thing went on for so long.
It didn't could've end.
Could have been longer. Double it. Double it, triple it.
Longer.
Loved it.
Longer.
That grasshopper dragon made sex sounds all the time.
It sure did. Like least disturbing physically looking of the space alien pets.
That is saying a lot when you look at that fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. but between the sex noises every time it moves and the amount of space diarrhea.
Yes.
Yeah, the space diarrhea was awful. Also, like, man, I thought, like, oh, the dog is, like, the most normal looking one. Truly, we find every time I saw its eyes, I'm like, this thing is horrible. This thing
also, is hell, yeah,
these creatures are from hell.
The people who made the poster realized how awful it looked because they just decided to put a different creature on that poster.
Yes.
Like, that is not.
And when all the kids were like, the animals aren't, like, looking so good. It's like, those animals are horrifying. They didn't look good ever. Like, yeah. Awful.
Like, that, yeah, that thing on that poster is not the same dog thing. Also, it's not the same girl.
Oh, yeah.
This, all of the creatures in all of the Moonbeam Entertainment movies are like they kidnapped Clive Barker, paid a dentist to, like, give him a bunch of laughing gas and then spun him around and made him design a creature and then dropped him off at his house.
Yeah. The idea of Clive Barker designing monsters for, like, kids' movies.
Or it's either that or it's like they just hung out outside of Muppet Studios and whenever someone got fired for being either too horny or too gross, they hired them.
Yeah.
Like, no, they, like, blackbagged them. Just van rolls up. Bag over your head. You
bunch of Italian goons. Albert and Charles Best or whatever.
They take you to Cactus Flats. Make you design creatures for them. In puppet shop. God, I'm just seeing that portrait again.
It's so good. Like, that's the thing with this movie is they'll have just, like, background stuff where you're like, this is psychotic.
Also, like, they're in witness protection. They had one carload of their possessions.
Yes.
And the things they brought with them. That portrait, a bunch of horses, presumably.
Yes. Yes. A tuba. There's a tuba on top of the car in the first scene.
Oh. Honestly, we need more sci-fi mafia comedies.
We didn't even talk about the fucking marshal who hangs out with them a whole bunch.
Oh yeah, the marshal. Their favorite uncle.
The marshal. Yeah. You know, the marshal.
Character their number uncle. 80.
Yes.
When it's that first scene when they're driving up and they're singing Where the Buffalo Roam, and the father talks first and he goes, hey, I'm driving over here. And then the wife goes, yeah, you driving over there. And then the son goes, look, Dad's driving over there. And then the daughter goes, yeah, he is. Capiche? I was losing my mind.
I like how we're talking about, like, is this a mafia movie? And then, like, literally 2 minutes later, it's like, oh, they're in witness protection. This is a mafia movie.
Yeah. As soon as the guy was standing next to them in the suit, I'm like, oh no, they're in witness protection. Uh-oh.
Like, I had foolishly assumed that, like, animals from another dimension or universe or whatever, like, that's your hook for the movie.
You thought, that's what this movie was going to be about?
Huh. It's just like, weird. No. Italian family and witness protection. Aliens. Like,
it didn't matter and nothing changed by any of that being there. Other than it gave an excuse for their accents.
And don't forget the Twin Towers.
Also that.
Never forget.
Like, they didn't even have to be people who just moved to town, because the pet shop just moved to town.
Yeah.
It's baffling.
They're relatable.
Yeah.
They needed a reason for her to want a dog, because apparently when you go into witness protection, you can keep your whole family, but you have to leave your dog behind. Like, I don't know, shave the dog, dye it a different color. Like, I'm sure there are workarounds here. Is that a movie thing that isn't real? Witness protection?
What? No, witness protection is real. It probably just almost certainly doesn't work like the movies.
Well, but yeah. Like, they got to send you to a different country or something, right? And it can only work. Like, I assume if you have a whole family, you can't really do it.
Yeah, I don't really know. Like, I think, my only knowledge is from movies and stuff. So this is like, it vaguely makes sense. Like, yeah, you send a family to a real small remote town, a couple states over or whatever. Change their names. Give them a little bit of money. It does seem like a thing that would be very difficult to keep going. Also, just like, don't worry, the mob boss won't be after you anymore, because I'll send him a telegram from those two guys who are never going to be heard from again,
who are now in space.
Space, presumably space slavery.
Look forward to the sequel, Space Babes.
Okay. Well, we're getting toward where we're going to start to, you know, do our thing. But could I please, pretty, pretty please, interest you all in some IMDb plot keywords?
Oh, aliens.
Please do.
Okay, I just want to let you know that none of these have been voted helpful or unhelpful. They are all at zero. Independent film, Arizona, witness protection program, mafia, father-son relationship, mother-son relationship, brother-sister relationship, father-daughter relationship, mother-daughter relationship, mob boss, sheriff, plumber, family relationships, pet shop, alien, pet, town, children, couple, Arizona desert, title directed by female, New York accent, oh. family portrait. Witness against the mob, small desert town, alien shapeshifter, alien pet, child abduction, alien slave auction, hitman, disguised as a cowboy, white slavery ring, human trafficking, alien slaver.
I think those were overall helpful.
I think so. Yeah. I think they were helpful and descriptive. Now, Tepper, if you'll just sign this contract, take this hellish monster and walk over past the giant mustache and pipe toward my space teleporter, we can head straight to Tepper's tops.
Yeah. Careful. Watch out for the crumbs on the floor.
True. Also, didn't she like throw like a dog toy or something at him too?
Yeah, threw a dog toy into his mouth.
Yeah. That scene with the crumbs on the carpet that made her fall, they have like a Home Alone ripoff movie, and it really makes me want to see that and know what they do up in there.
Yeah, that'd be yeah.
I think last time we watched all three Pre-Asteria movies in about a year. Is that right?
Yeah, we did them pretty close together.
I don't think we should go faster than that. I don't think we deserve to watch Moonbeam movies any faster than that.
All right. We're in Tepper's Tops.
Here we are.
Pet shop. Put it in the number three spot.
Wow.
Number three.
Better than Hudson Hawk.
Low Grave of the Fireflies, wow. Knocking down Hudson Hawk.
This is the most insane top five list of movies I've ever seen in my entire life. Number one, XXX. Number two, Grave of the Fireflies. Number three, Pet Shop. Number four, Hudson Hawk. And number five, fucking Ghostbusters. Absolutely crazy.
This movie lacks a critic rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It does have a 63% audience.
Wow, good work, audience.
Damn.
Which is wild.
Yeah. And then the villains, the aliens.
Yeah, this thing is a double almost the audience rating that Prehysteria 1 does. That's insane.
Truly.
I think put these guys, yes, in the number 6 spot.
Number 6, knocking down Cruella De Vil. Low Gozer. I forgot we only recently watched Ghostbusters. That feels so weird.
Yeah. Very recently. It was 4 movies ago, but that's still recently.
Yeah. It was this season and this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think, right? Anyways.
Yeah.
That is right. I mean, we got a business, Dad.
It's true.
The plumber?
Can't deny. Yeah.
He really doesn't do any business, really.
He breaks blocks with his head like any good Italian plumber.
Yes.
Yeah, is that just a class feature or like a race feature of Italians? Like,
or is plumbers. It
like a plumber?
I can't do that.
Plumber class feature? Okay.
I can't do that.
Yeah, specifically Italian plumbers, though. Like,
it's a racial feat.
Yeah, if you get a Polish plumber and you ask him to break blocks with your head, he's going to be mad. He's going to be upset with you.
He'll break them with your head.
Show you what's what.
He was pretty dad. He didn't really do all that much business.
Yeah.
Maybe his business was... What if... here's a pitch. What if his business was snitching? They call him a rat. They call him a rat much more often than they call him a plumber.
Mm, that's true. It was weird, like, the opening, because it made it sound like it was the son's fault that they had to move, briefly. That was how I interpreted that scene. And then it's just like, oh no. Okay. I thought she directed a comment at her brother saying, like, learn to keep your mouth shut or something.
Huh.
Yeah. Regardless. Business is at the top of the spectrum.
Okay.
My wife, business, dad.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the previous business dads.
Our father's business dads is literally my father and Pi's father. Those are the business dads you listed because they love Hudson Hawk. For Hudson Hawk, we listed our actual fathers.
Okay, I was really
also my father.
Yes, and your
father. Also recommended we watch this movie.
All of our fathers. Have you asked your father if he likes that movie, Tepper?
I think I asked him if he had ever watched it, and he said no.
I think your father would like that movie. I have no idea what kind of movies your dad likes, but I think he'd like that one.
Yeah, I think he would have a good time with it at the very least. So I think put in the number 3 spot, he's a pretty balanced business dad. Like, his business got them in witness protection, but you know, he lets his daughter keep the dog. Like, he's cool with that.
Yeah. Well, and, like, he very, very dad, just like, it's just like, he was trying to remain very neutral between his daughter and his wife.
Yes. Classic dad move. trying weakly to appease every woman in his life.
Yeah.
Classic. I don't know. Yeah.
Number 3 spot?
Number 3. He's not quite as dad as
many dads our literal fathers dad
from
oh, I see.
From Santa Claus 3.
These lists are only for us. These are only for us. They're unintelligible.
Yeah. This like trying to reverse engineer this would just like, I was looking at many dads make a business dad.
This is so many layers of a joke about, like, ranking and rating movies that, like, it's also just unintelligible nonsense.
I have a friend very mad about how many colors we use on this spreadsheet.
It's good. It's good. It's aesthetic.
Yeah, it is an aesthetic, yes.
It's like kind of a GeoCities 2002 website aesthetic. Can we get drippy blood text and like a mouse that trails.
And whenever you open up the spreadsheet, like a song starts playing.
It starts playing Linkin Park. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, can we shift over from having a spreadsheet to an early 90s website?
Oh, that would actually be the perfect thing for us to have. We should retool the DLZ website to drippy green text. Evanescence starts playing. A link to all our MySpaces.
Gosh, I finally have to make a MySpace.
GIF of that dancing baby from Prodigy.
Do we want a Death Note, anybody?
I don't know. I was thinking about that. Yeah. I don't know if there's ooh, the pets.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Let's kill those creepy puppets.
And then Never in the Glory, I guess, is the kids.
We're finally doing a movie with kids in it again, so it's hard to choose which kids.
I mean, done and dusted.
The kids.
I'm sure if we ever actually do another, I'm sure if we ever actually get here, we'll have forgotten who they are. But even if we had listed their names, we would have forgotten who they were. So
I will hashtag never forget. Are we including the brother and the sister?
Including the older kids?
Yes. That's my only question. They get the pets because they get whatever power they have. And they also get the powers of fashion, rapping, throwing a ball really hard, and whatever Mike Powers can do.
He's good with computers or computerized chess at least.
Yes, he can play chess. Okay.
Yeah, and he can prank his sister with the existence of turtles.
He's got some Ash Ketchum energy. He kind of just attracts competent people and is incompetent.
Yeah. What was this? Oh, right. That's our second Mafia movie in this bracket. That is our second Mafia comedy movie in this bracket.
This is such a better Mafia. Why didn't they get Moonbeam Entertainment to make Kangaroo Jack? Kangaroo Jack by Moonbeam Entertainment would have been a 10 out of 10 movie.
Easily.
It would have had all the same weird, like, grabbing your boobs and kissing you without consent stuff, but it would have been good.
It would have been funny.
Well, do you think we have any more Mafia comedies on the list?
I mean, how many Moonbeam Entertainment films are we going to watch? Hudson Hawk is not a Mafia comedy.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Also, the Santa Claus is kind of run like a Mafia.
Fair enough.
Oh, and we had XXX as well. Not the mob, but again.
Anarchist, sort of.
Yeah. Crime family-ish. All right, anyways. Yeah. Yeah, this was a movie. It's been a thing.
Yeah, it has been a thing. I'm going to be thinking about this one for a while.
Just so much happened.
We did not describe the plot of this movie at all because
the plot of this movie doesn't describe itself.
Well, we just kept getting into like talking about a specific character or like a specific like little thing, and just
this is one of those movies where it was 80 minutes, and if we talked for 160 minutes, we could not describe all the things that happened in this movie. If all we did was describe things that happened in this movie,
there's so much loaded into every scene.
You know what? I'm really curious what Joe Bob Bridges has to say about this movie.
Could you imagine how long we would have gone on if we had watched Joe Bob Bridges?
Only added an extra 30 minutes. If you have time, listeners, you can watch this on Tubi for free, or you can watch it on YouTube, including the commentary of Joe Bob Briggs.
Yep.
Not going to explain who he is.
Christmas special.
Yes, his first annual Christmas special. Family Christmas special.
Yes. You can tell by all of the attractive women.
Yes.
I guess we should rate it.
This movie has broken Ivan's mind. He can't, his script is broken. Oh boy. Okay. I can't remember anything from this movie. Watching this movie is like getting hit with the Men in Black mind erase ray. So I am going to rate this movie 0 ratings on Rotten Tomatoes, and you cannot search this movie on Metacritic. That's what I'm going to rate this movie.
Oh man. I'll
rate it, but we'll see if it gets taken.
I rate this minute 5 minutes of water for every hour.
I rate this movie 1 family portrait out of 1 mural of the Twin Towers.
Never forget. Oh,
I thought someone was, I was sure someone was going to rate it 2 out of 2 towers. Never forget.
Honestly, us talking about everything else in the movie, almost like I kind of forgot about the Twin Towers again. The show was talking about it. I'm like, all right. The movie ends with the Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm. They protected a small town from aliens. But what didn't they protect?
Some of the ratings we get 2 horses on 1 lawn.
Like, also, I still don't know what alien currency conversion rate's like, but that girl was evidently worth a lot.
Watch this movie.
Very excited.
Watch this fucking movie. We need to make like an essential watching list of like, no, you need to watch it, and it needs to be unhinged, and it needs to ping pong back and forth from like movies that are masterpieces like Last Unicorn and movies that are so insane that like you can't you need to hold on to your butt while you're watching it.
Actually, that would be a really fun thing to episode to do, is just with a couple people. We just go through like season by season and be like, here's like the 10 films that you should watch.
I think it would be, yeah, we'd have to do like, here are the 10 essential Never End the Story movies. Santa Claus.
If you liked The Grave of the Fireflies, My Neighbor Totoro double feature, then we've got a list for you. As always, I've been your host, Ivan.
I have been Chris.
And I'm Tepper.
And a special thanks to 8-Bit Jazz for their theme song. You can find them on YouTube. Follow the link in the description.
Downloadable Zebras is a dedicated group of friends that make independent content. If you want to support us and ensure that we stay ad-free, go to patreon.com/downloadablezebras. For $3 a month, you'll get bonus shows and access to the special patrons-only section of our Discord. Thanks for listening.